of spiritual determination. In this finale of 3D Revival, I hope that 2024 will be a year of increase for you all. I've been praying that prayer ever since the beginning of the year. I've been preaching about increase. I've been talking about increase. I've been searching out this principle in God's word about increase. I pray that in the last two nights you've had a 3D experience. It's interesting that when you go to the movies and there's a movie that is shown in 3D, you need special glasses. Tonight, when you walked in, I hope the ushers gave you your optical assistance so that you can see this sermon in 3D. I hope that you've had an experience of deliverance. I hope that you've had an experience of destiny. But tonight, as we close this revival, I hope you can see the determination is what I'm talking about. We're here tonight to hear God speak to us from his word. It's amazing because when you think about determination, when you think about that word in itself, you understand that I used to say failure will never overtake me because my determination to succeed, amen, is strong enough. And I want to say to somebody here today, there's no quitting yet. Wherever you are right now in life is just the beginning. What God has for you, oh, come on, help me somebody, is for you. No matter what folk may say about you, you got to understand that whatever God has ordained for your footsteps, amen, he will deliver. As the dawn broke over the city of the streets, as people were anticipating, amen, this marathon, young lady named Susan, she wasn't a professional athlete. She was a teacher. She was a mother. She was a mother of two, actually, who had discovered that running as a refuge during difficult periods in her life. For Susan, this marathon was more than a race. It was a testament of her determination. Months of training had been, she had went through balancing the act of being a mother and being going to work every day. And there were days that she felt exhausted. Amen. She didn't want to put on her running shoes. She didn't want to push through. Come on, help me somebody. She didn't want to get there because life sometimes had weighed her down. But she remembered what her grandmother said. Her grandmother said, perseverance is not just running the race. It's training for it. I wish I had somebody. And so with this wisdom deeply rooted in her, it resonated with her. And at the start of the race, when the gun was fired, Susan took a deep breath, began her run, and each symbol of her determination, each mile she went was a testament of her determination. I want to ask you a question tonight. Where do you find your determination? Where do you draw your determination from? You see, the power of determination can indeed be found in this psalm. Psalm 37 is an amazing psalm about an amazing man. A man who was flawed, a man who was called, a man after God's, come on, help me somebody, God's own heart. A man who persevered through much, But what you'll find intertwined in this psalm is the determination with divine guidance and support. These verses, they emphasize that when a person's action and intentions align with God's will, their steps will be ordered by the Lord. Do I have anybody here today who can say, man, my steps are being ordered by God? I suggest tonight that you pay close attention to what I'm about to say, because what I'm about to say is God's word. And here's what I want you to do when you hear God's word. I want you to respond to God's word by giving me your amens, saying hallelujah if you have to, shout if you want to. But what I really want you to do after you hear this word tonight, I want you to rush out of here and apply it to your everyday life. The word does not work if you leave it here. The word works when you walk it out. Do I have anybody? So this simple message of how to persist, how to maintain your patience in the midst of trouble. Let's look at it for a minute. David is writing this psalm, and if you look at verse 1, it starts off very interesting. Look what he says. See, this is listen, if you're going to be determined, you can't do verse 1. He says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. Why? The text says, for they will wither quickly like grass. I don't think I need to say anything else. I believe sometimes we envy the wrong people. I believe that sometimes we're peeking into people's lives, watch this, not knowing the whole story. But I thank God that the psalmist, you got to see the context before you get to the text. The context is important. Go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, for they will what? Wither. Did it say they will wither? Go to verse 4. Verse 4 says, delight yourself. Tell your neighbor determination. Tell your neighbor faithful footsteps. See, you can't fret if you're going to be faithful. You got to learn how to rejoice in spite of. But he says, delight yourself what? In the Lord. And what? The things that you have in your heart, God will give it to you if we learn how to praise him. If we learn how to delight ourselves, come on and help me somebody, will you? I need a few people going to help me tonight. I'm closing tonight now. I'm closing tonight. For real, I'm closing tonight. Come on, somebody, and help me, somebody. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. And what will he do? He will give you the desires of your heart. But don't just delight, though. Look at verse 5. He says, you got to commit. Notice, God is not interested in your actions as much as he is interested in your behavior. That's what the word way means. The word way in the Hebrew means Derek. That's me. It means the way. It means the way that you ought to live. It means the not just the way you live, but the quality of life that you want. Anybody want to upgrade your life tonight? I'm talking about you want to live a kind of life that's pleasing unto him. He says when you delight yourself in him, then you can commit yourself to him. Watch this. And then he says what? Trust also in him. But it didn't just stop right there. You got to catch it. Watch this. Go to verse 7. Yeah. Why are you fretting? Why are you troubled? Why are you flustered? Why life is causing you to lose focus on the race that's set before you? He says, rest. This is what you call the faith rest technique. In other words, it's you falling back on him. I wish I had somebody. It's the ability to rest in God and leave your mess over there and rest in him. Some of you have sleepless nights, but you ought to sleep real good when you're resting in him. He says, resting him in the Lord. And what? And what? And wait. Somebody here, that's what the problem is. You give up too easy. You throw in the towel too fast. Listen, you only been waiting a few minutes. Why do I say that? He says, one day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day to God. Let me rewind it for you. One day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is what? One day to God. So you've been thinking, I've been waiting for years and years. And God said, you just been waiting a couple days. Are you with me? He says, rest in me, but wait. And I believe that this is where we build determination. When we learn how to rest in the Lord and wait on him. Watch the text. The text says, when you rest in him and you wait patiently with him. Look at the B part of that verse. He said, do not fret because of him who what? Because you see somebody getting there faster than you. Oh, I wish I had somebody. You've been doing it for years. You've been doing it for years. And you're saying to yourself, how long, oh Lord? I've been faithful. I've been approachable. I've been available. And I'm anointed. But it just seems like it ain't working for me like it's working for him. But see, here's the problem. When you take your eyes over what you're doing, then that's where you got the problem. And then you start fretting. And then you start complaining to God why things are not working for you like it's working for them. Here's what I know about God. What he has for you is for you. What he has for me is for me. So here's the thing. I'm going to keep my eyes on the road that he has me on. Are you following me? Watch the text. It's there. It's right there. Watch this. Watch this now. Look at verse 8. See, because all that fretting leads to this. What does it lead to? He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. You ever notice that throughout this, if you do a count, you'll see that the writer really hones in on this one word, sharach, in the Hebrew. That word means to fret. You know what the word fret means? To be angry. And I want to tell you something about anger. It can ruin your testimony. But waiting on God can sometimes cause you to fret. Because you don't know when it's going to happen. And you've been waiting. Come on, anybody here? Been, let me see all the people been waiting. You're waiting for your increase. You're waiting for your breakthrough. You're waiting. And sometimes waiting, Gary, sometimes waiting. I'm not even going to sit here in front to you. Waiting can cause you to become a little angry. I wish I had somebody. But you know what? This is where your determination comes in. This is where you and I have to learn that we are not going to allow what we see to affect where we're going. Are you with me? The text says, rest in the Lord. Mm-hmm, and wait patiently. Verse 8 says, seek anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads. Don't get angry because your actions will not glorify him. I think I'm helping somebody right here. I really think I'm helping somebody. I think somebody needed to hear this tonight. Go to verse 17 real quick. Let's cut through the chase. We're almost there. Look at verse 17. What is verse? Verse 7 says, the arms of the wicked. Oh, let's go to verse 16. It says, better is the little of the righteous. Oh, come on, help me somebody. God can take your little and do 10 times more with your little than you having an abundance. See, there's a reason the psalmist here is telling us these things. David is giving us firsthand witness. A firsthand witness to a life about waiting on God. Watch this. He was anointed at 16, but not appointed. Come on, help me, somebody. He was sent to Saul's bedroom to play the harp, to keep that evil spirit. You tell me a man who had not experienced some stuff, but here's a man who has seen anger firsthand. Come on, help me, somebody. Then he went on the run. He lived in the caves. And he lived a life on the run, and he's waiting on God. And sometimes you're asking God, God, I know you didn't just anoint me to just have me to do this, to be hiding me and got me in this closet and got me in this cave and got me running from this and running from that. But God says, what I got for you, if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. And the beautiful thing about David is I love his honesty, because in his honesty, he helps us to understand the humanness about life and living for God. That every day is not going to be good. But he gives us a blueprint here, and he says, watch what he says. He says, the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord will sustain the righteous. In this psalm, he gave us a contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. But watch verse 21. It says the wicked. See, the reason why they look like they balling, because they buy everything on credit. Don't get fooled by social media. They look like they doing better than you. I wish I had a few people up in here. Come on, they look like they're doing better than you, but what you don't realize, you don't know the whole story. You don't know they can't sleep at night because they're thinking about all this stuff they got to pay back. As a matter of fact, they don't even have a plan to pay it back, because the Bible says the wicked borrows and does not pay back. But the righteous, I'm going to say it one more time, the righteous is gracious and give. So now, where do we draw the power of spiritual determination from? And so we get now to the passage. Now you got it. You got the context. You got it? But watch this. For those, verse 22, blessed by him will inherit the land. But those cursed by him will be cut off. Isn't this an interesting contrast? And if you're a believer in here tonight and you're a little discouraged, I hope this gave you a little bit more encouragement to understand that you ought not to fret. You ought not to get angry. You ought not to hang your head down. You ought not to feel insignificant. You ought not to feel like you're not making any progress, because one day, hallelujah, one day, God will bring to pass everything that he promised to you. But you got to have a faithful footstep. You ought to have a determination that will not deter you from where God is taking you. And so, if you look at the passage, it says, the steps of a good man. Now, there's nobody good but God. I've never met a good person in my life. And if you want to take the good person test, we can do that after church. But I stopped by to tell you, the text says the steps of a good man are what? Established who? By the Lord. I'm going to say it one more time. The steps of a good man. See, you got to know whether you're good or not. Don't you wait for somebody to define whether you're good or not. You just know that you know who you are. And when you know who you are, your steps will be ordered by God. And watch this. You won't have no missteps when your steps are ordered by God. And so the first thing I want to tell you tonight, I'm determined because I know who has ordered my steps. I know. Here's the thing. Stop allowing people to define your steps. Stop allowing people to define where you are right now in life. I stopped by to tell you that the text says that I'm sure that this path that he's talking about is a narrow path. Because the path that God puts you on is not going to be broad. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to hell and destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to life. Do I have anybody here today that you're sure tonight that God has ordered your steps and that you are determined because you know that? See, when you know that, you're not going to be insecure. When you know that, you won't have nothing to prove to anybody. My steps are ordered by God. My steps are ordered by God. My steps are aligned by God. God has me on the path that he has me on. Aren't you glad tonight? Where are my good people at? Where are all the good people at who can say tonight, it has not been easy, but it's been good. Here's why I know it's been good. Because in spite of all that they said about me, in spite of all that they done to me, I'm still standing. I'm still walking. I can jump. I can leap. I can praise God. Why? Because the path I'm on, God put me on that path. I'm determined that I'm not leaving this path. I'm determined that no matter what Satan may try to do, my steps, that's where I get my determination from. And notice I said, I know. You can't be insecure about what you know. Stop measuring yourself against other people and start living the life that God has ordained and ordered for you. This word steps, it's used in a way of a person's life, watch this, unfolding like a movie scene. As they're walking along the path, the scene is becoming clearer, Lord have mercy, and clearer. Those things that you went through was part of the scene. You didn't understand it then, but you can understand it now. But when your steps are ordered by God, but you got to know that this is God's ordained plan for your life. Next part of that verse says what? And he delights in his way. The word delight there means, watch this, the word delight, it's amazing. Because the word delight there has nothing to do with what we think delight is. It has the idea of you having favor. In other words, when you walk in your ordained steps, God says, I'm favoring you, and I'm going to finance that step. And I'm going to move you, but as you shine, I shine. And so the second thing I know, I'm determined because I know who has given me success. You see, my success is not based on what somebody did for me. My success is not based on anything that I'm trying to do. But here's what I know. Every favor I got, every door that was open, come on somebody, every opportunity that you're about to have in life, it is because God is the one who has given you the success. And when your steps are ordered and you're walking in that path, success will come. And when it lands on your doorsteps, you're not going to get the big head. Matter of fact, you're going to have so much gratitude. Do I have anybody here? You've had success. You've had some tough days. You've had some rough days. You've had some waiting days. You've had some fretting days. You had some angry days. But guess what? Here comes your success. And guess what? If you win, we win. And if you win, we win. And here's the thing. Watch out for people who can't celebrate your success, because they're the haters that will show up and try to convince you that what you're doing is wrong. But I stopped by to tell somebody, your success came from the Lord, because you've been walking on the path that he has put you on. Don't ever apologize for your blessings. Don't ever apologize for the success. Stay determined, because you know what? Who the success I have is because I'm living on that path that he has put me on. Have you ever taken a detour, anybody? Didn't work out so good, huh? The text says that steps. Now watch this. Now watch the text. Now we got happy on success. I thought so. He delights in his way. Look at verse 24. Here's the part of it. Ready? Yeah. Now, it says when he falls. Not if, but when. Now, you can't determine when I'm going to fall. Now, you may be thinking, oh, yeah, he about to fall. No, matter of fact, I just got started. It says, but when he falls, he will not be what? Hurled headlong. You see, God has to keep a fall in his back pocket for us, because he knows what success. Lord, have mercy. And so here's why I'm determined. I'm determined because I know who will help me in my stops. He says he will not be what? Hurled headlong. In other words, I may be falling, but I ain't going to hit my face to the ground. My nose may come this close to the ground, but it ain't going to hit. I may look like I'm losing because I look like I'm falling. But the Bible says that not only does he order my steps, not only does he order my success, but he orders my stops. God knows when to put a stop in your story. Gosh, doggone, thank you, Jesus. Because the stop is how he gets your attention. Anybody here in a stop situation right now that he has to get your attention? And let me tell you something. The stop is not to hurt you. It's to develop you. The stop is not there to destroy you. It's to make you better. I'm so glad for my stops. I remember stopping in Pearland. I wish I had somebody. I remember stopping in Riceville School Road. I remember stopping all over in Sugar Land. But I thank God that he brought me to Sunnyside. This ain't a stop for me. This is where it's going to be. Took me a little while to get here because I was running from here. I wanted to be with the Siddity folk. I wanted to be with the sophisticated folk. But God says I'm going to bring you right back to where I saved you. This is not a stop, baby. This is my step. And I'm walking, and I'm living in the place where God put me. But every now and then, Dancy, he got to stop me because I'm getting ahead of myself. You know how sometimes we can get so smart, we can get so cute, and then he'll stop you to remind you where he brought you from. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for my stops. 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 It's the stops that causes you to hunker in again and keep being determined. You've been delivered. You understand your destiny, but you got to be determined that just because something happens to you does not mean that that's the final chapter in your destiny. As long as we got breath in our bodies, we got destiny. As long as we got breath in our bodies, we have a purpose. Do I have anybody? Text says, though he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one. Oh, man. The Lord is the one. John asked a question to Jesus. Oh, he was sitting in the prison. He didn't realize it was a stop. Come on, help me somebody. He says, are you the one? Or should I look for another? John was suffering from give-up-itis. He had given up hope because of his situation. I'm talking to somebody here today. Don't you give up yet. It ain't over yet. The text says, because the Lord is the one who will what? Holds his hand. And so I'm determined, because not only do I know my stops, my steps, but lastly, I know this. I know who will support and strengthen me. God's hands holding you when you're falling means strength. God's hands holding you up when you're falling means power. God's hands can hold all of our lives up at the same time. He's not limited. Come on, help me somebody. He don't need to stop right here and hold you and say, hold on, I'm coming back. No, he ain't got to do that, because he's omniscient. Because he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. I'm talking about God. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you put your hands in God's hands? When was the last time you put your hands in his hands? But here, let me ask you another question. When was the last time you recognized it was his hands in your hands and not your hands in somebody else's hands? God is the one that holds us up. And you got to believe that. And you got to receive that tonight. And you got to repeat that, Lord, hold my hands, Lord. Problem is, we can't give God our hands, because our hands are filled. I wish I had somebody. The only way that you can put your hands in God's hands, you got to learn how to lift your hands. Let go of whatever it is that's holding you back. And you got to praise him while you have a chance. Lord, here is my hands. The Bible says that you will uphold me with your hands. Lord, your hands is powerful. Your hands is miraculous. Your hands, you created the universe. By your hands, you saved my soul. By your hands, you keep me whole. By your hands, my life is not what it used to be. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. By your hands, I am what I am now. Thank you, God, for never taking your hands off of me. I've let you down many a times. I've did things I'm supposed to do. But I thank you, Lord, for never let me hit my face, because your hands. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your strength. Lord, I need strength tonight. Lord, I need strength to make it through this situation. It doesn't look good right now, but strength is what I need. Give me your hands tonight, Lord. Here's my hands. Lead me on, Lord, to that place where I know my Redeemer lives, where I know that the God of the universe, who stepped out of nothing into time, and now, hallelujah, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he can do something. He orchestrated everything. He said in his word that he is before all things, and in him are all things hold together, so that he would have first place in everything. Let me do some ebonics for you. In everything. And what you got to know is that when God is first place in everything, you'll find out that your life will be held together. The cosmic glue that holds you together is Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. I said Jesus. Jesus is the hands, his hands. But when you reach out your hands to see his hands, you see the nail print in his hands. Do I have anybody? And you're reminded of what he did 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They dropped him low. Put him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Hold my hands, Lord. Hold my hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In spite of the rain, in spite of the floods, we made it here so we can get a word from the Lord. We're going to make it home safely. Stuff's going to be just all right when you get back home. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. God is not through with you yet. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise him. Come on and magnify him. Come on and glorify him. I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. I'm determined because I know who will sustain me for the rest of my life. I'm not looking to man. I'm looking to God. Thank God that he knows my steps. He knows my success. He knows my stops. He knows my strength. He sustains me. He holds us up. Give him a praise tonight. Tell him thank you. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry, Jones. I don't have to worry. Because God, I said God, is holding me up. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I ain't tired. I can go longer than 32 minutes. I ain't tired. His hands. At the Goodwill Games in Edmonton, Canada, the Jamaican team was participating in the 4x100-meter relay. The third leg for the Jamaican team had a friend who was competing in another event nearby. While the sprinter was waiting for the baton, He looked up for a moment and tried to see if he can catch his friend playing. In the next moment, the guy on the second leg of the race came up to him and he ran into him. Needless to say, the race was over for the Jamaicans because of the lack of focus on the team member. He wasn't focusing on his race. He was focused on somebody else's race. Some of us are focusing on somebody else's race. Focus on your race. Stay focused on what God gave you to do. And you'll get there. Stop being nice and be kind. Stop looking at everybody else's race and saying, oh man, if he was focusing on his race, they would have won that race. And I believe tonight that sometimes we get distracted by evildoers. We're envious of the wicked. And after saying all that, David encapsulated and says, the steps of a good man. Now here's what I want to share. I didn't get to say this, but David was an old man now. And he had written in his God file all that he had been through. Psalm 37 is his God file. Of all that, because David was familiar with haters and evildoers, you know. But he says, you know what? If I focus on my race, how did he know that the steps of a good man are ordered by God had he not experienced that with God? Can I ask you a question? What race are you running? Are your steps... See, right now you're in a stop, but you may be at a stop sign. It ain't a stop, boo. It's a temporary thing. You got to wait till everything is clear, then you go. But you're complaining. And you're upset. And you're saying, where my money? Where my stuff? Where my this? Where my that? You know how long it took me to get here? And people look and say, oh, listen. I know my path. I've lived long enough to know now that I am a good man. Amen. I'm a godly man. Not without mistakes. So I said, God, if this is how you want it for me, I accept what you have allowed. How about you? Will you accept your path tonight?